Have you ever stopped to think about how a really powerful leadership approach, like coaching, might interact with a region as culturally rich and honestly as rapidly changing as the Middle East? Welcome to the Deep Dive. Our mission today really is to cut through some of the noise and give you a clear understanding of leadership coaching specifically in the Middle East. We're drawing on some, frankly, incredible insights from a recent discussion. We had leading experts, professionals who are deeply immersed in the region. And by the end of this deep dive, you should have a much sharper grasp of how a coaching style can genuinely, you know, empower teams, boost performance, build trust, all while truly respecting and aligning with the unique cultural landscapes there.
Yeah, and we're really fortunate because these insights come directly from the sharp minds at TalentSage. They're a team, leadership development experts, learning designers, academics. Their focus is all about improving self-awareness and team dynamics. And they use these data-driven tools and programs. So they bring this great blend of, let's say, business school rigor and real-world consultancy experience.
Okay, so let's dive in then. We talk about adopting a coaching style of leadership. Why is this so crucial right now? I mean, not just in the Middle East, but, well, globally.
Well, it boils down to a fundamental shift. People have wanted more engagement, a stronger sense of belonging at work for a long time now. And traditional leadership, you know, the telling or giving advice model, it just hasn't fully addressed this need. Coaching completely flips that dynamic. It's about empowering individuals to find their own solutions. Tapping into their own wisdom, giving them a stronger sense of control, of ownership. It's about working through people, not just, you know, telling them what needs doing.
So less the leader as the all-knowing expert and more like a catalyst for the team's own thinking.
Precisely. Yeah. Exactly. And look, this isn't just some soft, fluffy skill. The data here is really compelling. Think about Google's famous Project Oxygen study, you know, the one looking at what makes managers great. They found coaching was the single most critical skill for managers, the one thing that significantly boosted both organizational and individual performance and engagement.
Wow. The most critical.
The most critical. If a company like Google, which measures everything, finds that, well, it clearly makes a huge difference. It shows its universal impact.
Okay, so here's where it gets really fascinating for me. How does this sort of universal coaching approach align with, or maybe even amplify, the really rich cultural values we find across the Middle East?
Right. And the first absolutely crucial thing to remember is that the Middle East isn't monolithic. It's incredibly diverse. You have, say, the very cosmopolitan mixed cultures in places like Dubai or Abu Dhabi. Then you compare that to Saudi Arabia, a massive, rapidly growing market, yes, but with a more distinctly Arab style and culture. Understanding these differences is just fundamental.
That's a key point. So you can't just apply a one-size-fits-all approach even within the region?
Absolutely not. Now, one core concept that helps understand this is power distance. It's basically the perceived gap, the difference in status and authority between a boss and an employee. So in lower power distance cultures, think US, UK, maybe challenging the boss. Pretty common, often encouraged even. But in higher power distance cultures, like much of the Arab Middle East, there's a very clear inherent respect for hierarchy.
Okay.
But, and this is really important, it's crucial to understand, this isn't obedience in, say, the Chinese cultural sense. That kind of obedience is generally reserved for God in the Arab context. Here, it's more about respect, a natural inclination to follow leadership, which, interestingly, creates a unique adaptability for coaching if you approach it in the right way.
So it's not about trying to flatten that hierarchy, but maybe working with that respect in a coaching framework.
Exactly. You leverage it, you don't fight it. Now, if we look at core cultural values, the U.S., often driven by achievement striving. China operates heavily on Guangxi, that complex web of personal connections, reciprocal obligations. Arab culture, though, is deeply focused on reducing uncertainty, on reputation, and on honor. These are very powerful drivers.
Okay, different core motivations.
Very different. And some leadership metaphors really illustrate this. Randall Peterson shared these, and they're quite revealing. In the U.S., leadership is often seen mechanically. The leader's like a race car driver. If an employee isn't working, you swap it out quickly.
Right. Focus on optimizing the machine.
Yeah. In China, it's more organic. Think of a leader guiding a flock of birds. If one bird is injured and holding back the group, it damages the Guangxi, the harmony. That individual might even be expected to withdraw for the good of the flock.
A different kind of collective focus.
Mm-hmm. But in Arab culture, the metaphor is also organic. And I find this one particularly telling for coaching. The leader is seen as the brain running the body. The goal isn't quick replacement. It's to make the best possible use of all the parts you have. Historically, this translates to doing the best you can with what you've got. It means investing in people, developing them, rather than just replacing them at the first sign of trouble. This inherent willingness to develop people, to work with what you have, makes a coaching culture incredibly friendly, fundamentally, to Arab culture. You're not looking to discard, you're looking to cultivate and improve.
That's a really, really powerful distinction. It almost sounds like the cultural soil is already quite fertile for coaching then.
It really is.
So how can leaders actually tap into those existing cultural strengths?
Mm-hmm.
Things like hospitality, relationships?
Exactly. Those strengths, hospitality, the importance of strong relationships, a deep sense of community. These are natural advantages for fostering a coaching culture. There's often an ingrained inclination not to quickly dismiss someone who's struggling. The burden of struggling, as it were, is often spread more broadly within the family or the organization, which is quite different from some Western approaches.
Interesting comparison.
You just don't see the same levels of, say, homelessness, because families and organizations tend to absorb people, to take them in and support them. There's a collective responsibility. And we heard this reflected in our discussion. One participant emphasized that the overwhelming need they see in the Middle East is for a direct personal connection with the coach or leader. People are seeking thought and wisdom, not just simple instructions.
More than just a task list.
Much more. And another participant made a really powerful point. Coaching and mentoring are actually inbuilt in Arab culture. Historically passed down through generations, you know, the idea of sitting with the elders to learn. The key, they argued, isn't to try and overcome these traditional values as if they're barriers,
right,
but to embrace them, to consciously connect modern coaching philosophies to these deep-rooted traditions.
That makes so much sense. Bridge the gap. Don't just try to pave over it.
Yeah.
So, okay, if coaching aligns so naturally in many ways, where do the actual challenges creep in? Jolyn talked about this.
Yeah.
What are some of the shadow characteristics or maybe sources of skepticism leaders need to be aware of?
Yeah, that's a crucial question, because no culture is without its complexities or shadows. And in the Middle East context, some things come up. That high power distance we mentioned, it can make individuals hesitant to ask questions, maybe less likely to feel psychologically safe enough to challenge ideas upwards. Coaching done well can really help balance this by actively encouraging speaking up, creating that safe space.
So using coaching to mitigate that potential downside of the hierarchy.
Precisely. Another point is high context communication. Things are often understood implicitly, not stated directly. So direct questions, which are pretty standard in many coaching models, might feel blunt or even be resisted. There's a very strong importance placed on face saving, on protecting reputation, both yours and others. Understanding the social risks involved in any conversation is key.
Okay, so a coach needs to be really attuned to that indirectness.
Absolutely. And then there's the concept of WASA. It's complex, but it relates to understanding what's appropriate, what's fair, how things really work in a given situation. Sometimes it involves navigating unspoken rules, maybe even leveraging connections who you know can matter. A coach needs to understand this exists, not to necessarily endorse it or fight it head on, but to help their coachee navigate these unwritten rules effectively and ethically, ensuring solutions are culturally resonant and genuinely effective. It's about making these cultural elements work for everyone, ultimately leading to a richer, more adapted form of leadership.
That's a really sophisticated way to think about it. Not about eradication, but about skillful navigation and leveraging what's there. What have practitioners, people actually doing this work, experienced in navigating this?
Well, we heard from an attendee, a lawyer working in the region. She observed this deep interest in Western methods for success, which is definitely there. But it comes with this key underlying question. Is coaching just another Western trend we're importing, or is it actually something we already do here? Just maybe. Maybe we don't call it that.
The labeling question.
Exactly. They're actively trying to figure out how to reconcile these perspectives. And another attendee highlighted the frankly, huge positive changes for women in Saudi Arabia. They now have access to professional roles that were just unimaginable a few decades ago. It's a real testament to the ongoing transformation happening.
That's a massive shift.
It is. And Randall Peterson added a really crucial layer to the lawyer example in Saudi Arabia. He pointed out that religion, specifically Islam, and the law are deeply, deeply intertwined there. So coaches working in that context need to be comfortable understanding that connection, acknowledging it, maybe even being prepared to quote religious texts, because they're viewed as profound sources of wisdom and philosophy, not separate from practical life.
So cultural competence extends to religious understanding in that context.
Absolutely vital. And it reinforces the need to understand regional subcultures too. Randall mentioned, you know, Saudi clients who might originally be from Egypt or Yemen or Lebanon, they'll bring their own nuances. As one attendee powerfully put it, don't ever make the mistake of comparing Oman to Saudi. These distinctions aren't trivial. They're paramount for effective engagement.
Got it. Don't paint with too broad a brush.
Never. So the takeaway here, as Joel and Pratty McLaren emphasized, is that while the culture might naturally embed an environment that's quite conducive to coaching, being deliberate and structured in how you apply coaching is what transforms it. It takes it from just a natural inclination, a general disposition, into a powerful momentum-generating force for development and performance.
Right.
It's like the difference between just naturally learning to walk as a child versus intentionally training to win a race. The raw ability might be there, but structured development unlocks the real potential.
That's a great analogy. Okay, so given all these insights into the cultural landscape, the nuances, the strengths, what are some practical coaching techniques or tools that have really proven effective in Middle Eastern workplaces? Tools that genuinely enhance team performance there.
Well, one tool that's proving very effective is using psychometric assessments, personality or behavioral profiles, but specifically ones that feature a cultural toggle.
A cultural toggle. What does that do?
It allows individuals to see their own results, their own tendencies, and then compare them not just to a global norm, but specifically to the norms of other cultures relevant to their team or work. It's incredibly powerful because it gives people a shared language, a framework to understand natural differences. It helps them see why potential tensions might arise in a team due to differing styles, and it fosters empathy.
Opens up the conversation about difference in a non-judgmental way.
Exactly. And we often combine that with 360-degree feedback. The psychometrics give self-understanding. The 360 gives external perspectives on how others experience you. Putting those two together leads to much richer, more candid conversations, the kind that might otherwise be quite difficult in a high-context, face-saving culture. We saw this work vividly in a case study Jolin shared, working with an Omani C-suite client. They used both psychometrics and 360 feedback, and it helped the leadership team understand their differences in a really profound way. Before that, they'd kind of assumed that because they were all Omani, culturally similar, they were probably similar in lots of other ways, working styles, decision-making.
Which wasn't the case.
Not at all. Once the data came out, this new understanding, this ability to talk about their differences openly, it facilitated really critical conversations. And it led to what was described as a massive transformation. They actually reorganized, rebranded, even moved some executives to lead new spin-off companies. It massively accelerated their collective understanding and performance.
Wow, so tangible business outcomes from that coaching process.
Absolutely. And Randall Peterson often talks about this light bulb moment that happens in organizations. It's when leaders realize that a coaching approach, asking questions, guiding rather than just telling, actually helps individuals solve their own problems.
The leader doesn't have to be the sole problem solver anymore.
Exactly. Which crucially saves the leader a huge amount of time and mental energy. It frees them up to focus on higher value, more strategic activities. And that realization often creates the true believers within an organization. People who experience the benefit firsthand, who then champion and spread the coaching culture organically. It stops being just a top-down initiative.
That's fascinating. It creates its own internal advocates driving adoption from within. It sounds like it creates a kind of self-sustaining momentum.
It really can, yes.
What about some of the individual experiences you mentioned attendees sharing? Any specific reflections from practitioners working directly with clients, say, in Saudi?
Yes, one attendee shared some really valuable reflections from their work with Saudi clients. They emphasized the importance of sharing more of oneself as a coach. Building that crucial personal connection we talked about earlier, it often requires a bit more personal disclosure than might be typical in some Western coaching contexts.
Being a bit more open personally to build trust.
Mm-hmm. They also found they needed to prepare quite extensive content. This caters to that desire we heard about for thought and wisdom. From the coach clients, often expect the coach to bring deep insights and knowledge, connecting back to that traditional view of leaders or elders as sources of wisdom.
So less purely Socratic questioning, more sharing of frameworks or ideas, perhaps.
A blend. Perhaps. And finally, they noted the real importance of careful design when doing group coaching, making sure there are still individual touch points, opportunities for that personal connection, even within a group setting. It requires thoughtful facilitation.
What a rich journey we've taken today exploring this. It seems abundantly clear, doesn't it, that coaching isn't just some generic tool you can just import and drop into the Middle East.
Absolutely not.
It's really a powerful mindset, but one that seems to deeply resonate with and can genuinely enhance Middle Eastern cultures. If it's applied thoughtfully, respectfully, with that cultural attunement we've discussed.
Precisely. It's all about recognizing and building on the inherent strengths of the culture, rather than trying to impose an external model that just might not fit, or worse, might clash.
Which actually leads perfectly to a really fascinating closing thought that came from one of the attendees in the discussion.
Oh.
They suggested that maybe the traditional coaching mantra, often phrased as coach wisely, lead boldly, might need a slight tweak for the Middle Eastern context. They proposed inverting it, or rather adjusting it to coach widely, lead boldly.
Coach widely, I like that.
It really emphasizes that need for broad, inclusive coaching, spreading that developmental mindset throughout the organization. And it speaks to how coaching, approached this way, can foster a more interconnected, supportive environment.
That's a beautiful way to capture it. It really gets to the essence of truly embedding a coaching mindset into the fabric of a culture, making it accessible and relevant to everyone. And the work of people like Jolyn Prouty-McLaren, Randall Peterson, Sharon Sagu, and organizations like TalentSage, alongside all the dedicated practitioners on the ground, they're really at the forefront of this evolution, helping shape leadership in this incredibly dynamic and pivotal part of the world.
So as you, our listener, reflect on this deep dive, we really encourage you to consider how these insights about cultural understanding, about adapting coaching, might apply beyond the Middle East. Think about any diverse team or organization you're part of. What are the subtle cultural nuances in your own environment? And how could a coaching mindset applied with awareness and respect help you navigate them more effectively? Something to think about. Thank you so much for joining us for the deep dive. Until next time.